Casey Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer.
Shoe polisher.
Shoe polisher.
I feel like I would do good at that job.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe that's not even what the job is called, so maybe I would not.
Yeah, I would have to check out and see what the job's called, but I don't see that up your alley.
Shoe shiner, that's what it is.
Oh, shoe shiner? Okay. Yeah. To my left, I have Hottie Patati Will Schmidt coming in today.
We're matching.
Yeah, we're green. We're all the green people today.
Indeed. I have green, but it's not really green. It's more bluish.
It's more like a blue, an aqua blue. It's like the color
of the
ocean.
Green in there. Let's talk about more important topics.
Okay.
I got nothing.
Oh, me neither. Today's show is another Ask Tony show. These are all the questions that you put forth on Tony's blog.
You said Ask Tony. Ask Tony. Right.
It's Ask Tony. Ask Tony. And so we're going to do those questions again today. But first, this is coming up on our 100th show, huh?
Two shows. Show 98 right here. Two shows away. We're show number 100. And we're going to have prizes that we give away
and
to people.
And those prizes again.
And Will, what are we getting? What are we giving away?
We're
giving
a new car. Oh no, sorry.
That's a fake one.
No. fake.
We're gonna have a $100 Amazon gift card.
Yeah,
that'll be one.
That's a real one.
That's a real one that someone will actually receive.
Fake one.
A pony is one that someone will
fake
not
one.
Get.
Yeah. Will we'll give you a massage personally.
That's also fake one.
Okay. But Will, we'll do a real one that is a Skype thing. What's that, Will?
It's an exercise therapy session. So.
Nice.
Yeah. So. Like one of the things I do with my clients is help them correct their body alignment with corrective exercises. Think of it like a custom yoga routine for pain relief and improved sports performance. So I'll Skype with a lucky winner and look at their posture, walk them through some exercise, and then create a custom video routine for them to do to correct their movement patterns. And it'll be kind of like a low intensity workout / yoga session.
Cool.
Yes, and that's valued at $17,000.
Uh-huh.
And we're also going to give away one of our 12-week fat loss courses. And we're also going to give away one of our complete protein powders. We're going to ship it right to your face.
Right into your face.
Yeah.
I'll just be walking by and throw
so
it.
So here's how you do that. How might you enter into that, you ask?
You're going to leave a review at iTunes or Stitcher.
Go to iTunes or Stitcher and leave us a review and rating for the show. And if you've already left one, you're automatically entered in to win.
But the more you leave, maybe the better.
It's
or they only
true.
Let you leave one.
You
huh?
can only leave one.
Oh, jerks.
It. Sorry about your luck.
Jerks.
Yeah, because every iTunes account is like attached to a credit card. So you have to have like real, legitimate, fake ID things and be a spy or something to leave more than one review. So if you're a spy, you can enter twice.
Yeah, if you have many identities. If you go into the Witness Protection Program service,
right.
Since you left the review, mm-hmm. you can leave another review.
Right. So, and then if you win, we'll announce your name to everyone.
Your full name.
Yeah, your real
where
name.
Where you live, your address, your alias, and your email.
Your witness, former address.
Your witness protection your will be altered.
Right.
We got a new review, though, didn't we?
But before that, why don't you join us on Facebook?
Okay.
That's where all the fun's happening. So go to Kick It in the Nuts. That's where we post all of our topics on we're doing on future shows. You guys can post any questions or any topic that you want us to cover. So go there, like us, and you'll be part of that little fun group. But our review, let's hear our review. This review is from NRG Doc.
Energy Doc.
Oh, duh!
You're good at that license plate
Energy
game, huh?
Energy Doc, okay. Traditionally accepted methods of coping with weight issues and gastric troubles never worked for me. Sure, I lost the weight, and then it all came back. Again, leaving me demoralized and hopeless. Tony shares a perspective that doesn't suppress like antacids and gives the power back to the person for creating solutions for digestive issues. Very thought-provoking and best of all, free. Thank you, Tony and team.
Good job. So thank you so much for everybody who's been leaving us reviews. That really helps us spread the word more than anything. And for our 100th show, you're even going to win a prize. Possibly if you leave a review. So head on over there and do that. And our episode 100, the topic is going to be vaccines. We're doing vaccines for the 100th show.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Right, and people are going to fist fight.
Yeah, man. Jim Carrey's coming on. He's going to Skype in.
Uh-huh. Is he for or against vaccines?
He's against. Very, totally.
Yeah, so
he got a lot of heat from it, too.
Okay, well, this show will be filled with heat.
Well, he brings the heat.
Yeah, it's going to be. He's not really going to be on the show, but there's going to be heat. So we'll get to that in episode 100. So let's do this episode now. It's episode 98.
Go. All right, here we go. Veronica from Canmore, Alberta, Canada. I would like to know what your view is on the Bulletproof Coffee Diet. In my search for help with my adrenal fatigue, I found you guys and Bulletproof at the same time. I am in week 3 of the digestion-free course. Any thoughts on this fad?
So we do have thoughts on this, and there's a couple things, and there's some good and bad actual thoughts. But as far as the actual diet and the foods consumed and all those kind of things, it's really similar to what we talk about all the time. There's not a whole lot of difference specifically. But one thing that they do that we don't really do that much is they say, hey, let's just not have breakfast at all, and let's just have some coffee with some mud in it.
Oh, that's disgusting. I'm sorry, I can't think about that.
It's not actually
putting
mud.
Putting coconut oil in your coffee sounds so gross.
Well, people that do it really like the flavor, and I'm not against even putting MCT oil or coconut oil or butter in your coffee. If you're going to drink coffee, I'm like, yeah, well, go ahead and get something beneficial in your coffee.
I'm surprised you don't just sit around and drink coconut oil in the morning.
I just drink it all the time. I have an IV now.
Of coconut oil.
But I think the thing that we will agree that we hate, especially, and this is especially for someone dealing with adrenal fatigue, because in most cases when someone has adrenal fatigue, it's because the body is jacking up all these hormone levels to try and get systems to function correctly, because there's either not enough resources to allow systems to function correctly, or something has gone horribly wrong, or the body's dealing with some incredible burden that it can't make everything happen like it wants to, so it has to like call in all these backup systems. And that's kind of how adrenal fatigue comes about, is just the body's overuse of all of these hormones trying to get things to work. And if you improve the underlying cause, adrenal fatigue will often go away. But we usually see adrenal fatigue with very low blood pressure, low resource people. And now you're going to take this person and say, hey, how about don't have any breakfast?
Yeah.
Can you talk about your hatred for that idea?
Sure. I mean, I haven't read the Bulletproof Diet book, but I live in LA, so I'm surrounded by people buying Bulletproof coffee for like $10 a cup. But these fancy,
it's super expensive
grocery
stores.
Yeah, I mean, it like Erewhon's, like the ultra yuppified. It's like Whole Foods on a celebrity diet. Like It's insanely expensive and like extra niche. But they have this bar there where they serve like Bulletproof coffee for like $12 a cup or something like that.
Awesome.
They have a $38 smoothie there.
That's delicious smoothie.
It's called Dragon's Blood. I think it's actually Dragon's Blood.
Uh-huh.
So organic Dragon's Blood.
Okay, good.
So anyway,
grass-fed dragon.
So I haven't read the book, but from what I've seen of the diet, it is like a diet, kind of like the South Beach diet or Atkins diet, where it's a plan that you just do.
Oh, I didn't know that there was one thing.
I think it might be a set of tactics, but I do not know. So I'm not sure. But I do not know if it accommodates to individual variants.
I do know that it leans paleo-ish.
Yeah. So it's, okay, that school's of like paleo is completely paleo. Bulletproof is leaning paleo. But within that, it's like you still need to accommodate for individual variants, so the bioindividuality that we always talk about. So for some people, when they do something like skip food for breakfast and just have caffeine and MCT oil, for some people, it might be useful if they needed that extra stimulant to their nervous system to help speed oxidation of glucose. And they might feel great because maybe before they're having pancakes and it was really spiking their insulin. And it's a big switch, so it takes them out of this like insulin slumber, and they're like, I got all this energy, I feel amazing, I'm losing weight. And that's cool. And then their friend might also like jump on the diet at the same time, and their friend might be in a different state entirely. Like maybe they're looking for answers because they have some weird illness, or they're weak and tired all the time, and they try cutting out their normal like eggs and fruit and stuff for breakfast, and they just have caffeine and MCT oil, and they're
balled up crying in a weeping fetal position.
They're like vomiting from their rectum, like they can't process any of the oils. They have no blood pressure. They already maybe were like already low on resources, and the caffeine pushed them further in that direction. So the thing is, like, if you're going to put yourself on like a caffeine stimulant and you don't have sufficient resources to burn, it's going to be a problem. Like, you're already low blood pressure, low blood sugar.
Maybe you're a fast oxidizer ripping through everything already.
Yeah, you add caffeine to that, it's going to make you worse. And then you also don't have carbs at that same moment, it's going to be way worse. So you got to look at, like, what is your body capable of? Can it handle more stimulant at the moment? And can it also handle not having carbohydrates available for an energy source? And can it handle these intense amounts of fats? Like, you need good bile flow to handle that. You need sufficient blood sugar. You need like a balanced metabolism. So it's just not a good idea for some people, and it's an amazing idea for other people.
Right. So it, don't get us wrong. Like, if somebody is eating in a way that supports that, if they're leaning ketogenic because they're doing everything right, they're finding that they're not pushing themselves too catabolic by eating that way. They're finding that their breath rate is not going too low from leaving out too many carbs. All those things are okay, and they do something like that, they could be okay, because someone in that situation could go longer without breakfast on some days and maybe even benefit from that. There's a lot of people that do the intermittent fasting that see good results. We're just not huge fans of that, and we definitely feel that some people, it's a horrible mistake to do for them. So as far as the diet, from what I've seen of it, it's very similar to what we do in a lot of cases. They also talk about not cooking your food too much. I'm fine if somebody doesn't want to overcook a lot of the food that they're eating. There's a lot of foods that can be beneficial raw or near raw, but there's also a lot of foods that, hey, you know, broccoli works out better if you cook it.
There's certain foods that have fibers that are problematic for a lot of people, and certain foods that can inhibit thyroid function if they're raw. So it kind of depends on a food by food basis. It's not just like all raw foods are better or all cooked foods are better. There's, you know, different factors at play.
Right. So that's the deal, is you know, kind of think about those things and which one of those things works correctly for you and what you're trying to achieve. And if you're trying to achieve correcting adrenal fatigue, my thought is that it might not be the best route for you, because I'm jumping to conclusions, which I never do with a person, but since we're on a radio show, I feel jumpy.
I wish I had my jump to conclusions, Matt.
Yeah, right. Awesome. But look at your blood pressure. Is it low? Are there other tests that you're running, that you're learning in our 4-week digestion course? Are they pointing to the fact that your resources might be low, and that's signifying that, hey, maybe I don't want to skip a whole bunch of meals, because if I'm already low on resources, do I really want to make them less low?
Yeah.
So it's more about finding ways to keep your blood sugar on an even keel than it is skipping meals so that in an effort to lose weight.
Yeah. I mean, especially for Veronica's case, she's already in adrenal fatigue. When you put yourself on a no carbohydrate diet, which is like the bulletproof diet, is there is no carbs in their breakfast. It's just coffee and MCT oil, maybe stevia. You are going to elevate stress hormones more. Like, that's what's going to happen. Your cortisol and adrenaline are going to go up, and those are already hormones that, in adrenal fatigue, by definition, those are already chronically elevated. So it's not going to be really supportive of her fixing that.
Yeah. So look at your numbers, see if something's appropriate for you before you just jump into doing it because all the cool kids are doing it.
Yeah, it's funny. I heard this stand-up comedian, the other girl, this female, that did this rap song about, I'm healthier than you. There's more yoga to go around. Like, everything was like, my coffee's bulletproof. And like, every single fad in L.A. that you could ever think of or diet, she put into that rap, and it was awesome. Okay, Sherry, can you talk about postmenopausal weight and the hormonal changes that make losing weight different?
This is pretty interesting, and you know, one thing to first of all to think about is, you know, it's not always about you going through menopause and then all of your hormones change. It's not like a clock flipped a switch, and so now you have these new hormones, and I have to deal with different problems from weight loss.
And doesn't just normally, like, as you get older, your digestion weakers?
It weakens.
So that along with maybe some things going on.
Yeah, so usually when someone goes through menopause, it's because that they have lost the digestive capacity to pull enough resources out of the food that they're eating that they don't have enough stuff to make another human being. So Mother Nature says, okay, we're gonna shut this system down because you don't have enough gumption to make another whole human being. But before it does that, there's a lot of hormonal wackiness that can go on with the body's attempt to try and get everything to work correctly. The body wants reproduction to work properly, and so it does anything it can. So a lot of times hormones will go very whacked because the body is losing its resilience, it's losing all of its reserves, it's losing all of these extra resources, its ability to bring in all these resources. So as it loses that, hormones will go amok, and people think, oh, well, hormones are amok because I've entered menopause. But actually, the reality is often that you are entering menopause because of all these other issues that are causing hormones to go amok.
Yeah, so menopause is more like the term used for the hormonal muckiness.
Yeah.
Rather than the cause of the hormonal muckiness.
Right, and I think that's very confusing to a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of just drilled into their head that, hey, menopause causes all these problems, and menopause comes at a certain age. But
yeah.
That doesn't explain why one woman enters menopause at 37 and others enter it at 50.
Right, I think it's like, it's the old, like, I think you're right. People just think, oh, that's just something that happens when you get older. So it has this like presence where it just makes all this problem occur. But I think it's more along the lines of like when I had this knee issue and went to the doctor and I had like really intense swelling and pain. He's like, oh, you have patella tendonitis. It's like, oh, yeah. That's what I said. It's like, yeah, my knee is swollen. That's what patella tendonitis is. It's like,
that's what it means, right?
Right,
yeah.
As opposed to like the patella tendonitis caused the swelling in the knee. No, it's just a description of symptoms. And you have to look at what's causing it. So when we look at like the hormonal muckiness that is menopause, we see a lot of impaired cellular respiration, lower thyroid function, elevated estrogen, lower progesterone levels, all these things that kind of get in the way with the way our cells normally make energy and maintain the health of the tissues. So the things that can cause problems in the health of the tissues and interfere with regular endocrine function are manifold. There's a lot of different things that could be getting in the way, whether you've used like lousy oils for a long time that have really saturated the tissues, or eating a lot of foods that have elevated estrogen, or not eating a lot of foods that have helped to maintain your regular thyroid function. There's all sorts of issues that could be contributing to impaired like regular cellular function and cellular health. So that goes into looking at your chemistry again and seeing what is it for you. Is it your digestion that's weak? Is it your resources that are low? Or do you have an imbalance in the kinds of proteins or fats you're eating?
Right, and I think the one thing that is confusing to a lot of people is that I don't feel like you have to look at different avenues to go to try to lose weight if you've already gone through menopause. It's not like that. It's still about looking at the same things that anyone else would look at. I think the confusion is that women have all of these other crazy symptoms as they're making that change, as the menstrual cycle is shutting down, and because a lot of those other symptoms are just horrible. It's all this night sweats and the hot flashes and all of this craziness that goes on while all those hormones are saying, come on, we can do it. We can get all this stuff to work. I know we can. And the side effect is all of those crazy symptoms. So it's this huge event for a woman. So she thinks that her whole body has changed in that time, as to where guys have things that go wrong too, but it's like, their little soldier won't stand up anymore. And there's not a whole lot of other symptoms that go along with that aging, more burdens added to the body, less digestive capacity, less resources, all those other problems that happen along with age don't have as a significant of these markers that, oh, I've made the switch. Like, they have groups of on Facebook for women, you know, who have switched over, and let's, you know, well, let's talk about what we're experiencing, all that kind of stuff, because it's a big deal to them, and it's a big experience. But just because you experienced all those symptoms doesn't mean that your body operates totally different now. It really doesn't, and a lot of those things that may be making it harder for you to lose weight are the same things that cause that problem for other people as well. Maybe they just still have their period too.
All right. If you'd like to learn how to become a health coach or even just dig into more advanced teachings for yourself or your family, go to healthprocourse.com to learn about Tony and Will's course for coaches. Registration for this course only opens to the public for about a week at a time, so be sure to register for the coach newsletter so you'll be notified when the next registration opens. You'll find more info at healthprocourse.com.
That's where you'll find it.
Yeah. All right. Renate, Eldon, Missouri. Raynaud's syndrome. Raynaud's.
Yeah,
whatever. Syndrome. I have a couple of clients with this. And then Charlotte says, Raynaud's and poor circulation, please. Have cold feet and hands all the time during a heat wave.
Even during a heat wave.
Even during a heat wave.
So, Raynaud's. Raynaud's, I don't know.
Raynaud's.
But it's called Raynaud's disease or phenomenon. And basically, your hands get like discoloration. This can happen in feet too, but they get like discolored, or they'll turn red or purple, or get really cold or numb and have tingly issues. So
like mine's doing now.
There you go. Good job. You're doing magical posture.
Trying to get the blood to flow.
Yeah. So it's viewed as a circulation issue, and one thing that's very interesting is that when you look at this, they have correlated that it's more common with people using estrogen replacement therapy. Not as common if they use both estrogen and progesterone and try and balance things out a little bit, but they've shown that for people that are jacking up their estrogen levels, that this is a pretty common thing to happen.
You don't say.
So let's hear Will Schmidt go on for about 30 minutes talking about why high estrogen is not good.
Well, the basis, and we learned a lot of this from one of our favorite teachers, Ray Pete, the basis of if your estrogen levels are elevated, that can directly inhibit your thyroid. And the way, not the thyroid secretion of hormone, but the ability of the cells to use thyroid hormone.
To become responsive to that?
Yeah. Right. Okay. So estrogen gets in the way of that. And all your cells like to make energy using the stimulants from thyroid hormone and oxidizing glucose to create ATP. And that's really, really fundamental. It's like as important as your car being able to use gasoline. So estrogen gets in the way of that. And that changes the ability of your cells to perform their regular functions, but it also changes the little electromagnetic dynamics that the cell as a battery is. So the cells will then start to become inflamed and non-functional. So they'll take in a lot of calcium, and water will get all disorganized in the cells, so they get puffy, and that interferes further with their own energy production. So you can think about it like, well, why does that matter if we look at like circulation? It's like, well, if all of your vascular system,
let's see how that does.
Right, if all your vascular system, like the capillaries are all inflamed, which it's already really narrow for the blood cells to fit through, and then your blood's really sticky and they're all clumped together because this whole compromised system is screwing with the regular shape and fluidity of the blood, as well as the pathway that the blood has to flow through. So now we got a bunch of problems.
With the blood being too thicky to flow properly, plus now the walls that they flow through are inflamed and not as easy to flow through, you got a double option for problems.
Right. And add to that the elevated stress hormone profile that comes when the thyroid's inhibited. You're going to get more of a sympathetic nervous state with more adrenaline and cortisol, which further tells the nervous system, instructs like the circulatory system, to shunt blood towards the larger muscle groups and internal organs when it's in this sympathetic state. So again, on top of that, another reason why blood wouldn't make it to the extremities, because it's being shuttled just towards those larger muscle groups and internal organs that's part of the fight or flight response. So I used to have this to a severe degree when I had like abused pre-workout supplements that really pushed me into the sympathetic nervous system state. And it wasn't so much estrogen for me as it was nitric oxide, which is like a big component of pre-workout stimulants, like the arginine that they use to help induce nitric oxide. It does the same sort of thing as estrogen does. It inhibits regular cellular respiration and causes this inflammation problem and restriction of circulation. So I used to get really tingly, clenchy, crampy hands and feet, and they were super cold even in the summer, like icy cold.
Right. So one interesting thing that I found when I was looking up stuff for this was that they describe it as a hyperactivation of the sympathetic nervous system, and which can cause an extreme vasoconstriction of that vascular system. And so we have a couple different things. Now a person can look at some things. A person can look at, okay, are there reasons that my estrogen levels may be too high? I can look at my blood pressure, and we teach how to do this in our 4-week digestion course. It's free. A person can look at their blood pressure and see if they appear to be leaning too sympathetic, and they can also look at their breath rate to figure that out as well. Because some people may have low blood pressure where it usually does not appear so sympathetic in that formula that we look at. Because we take blood pressure and we take the top number, which is the systolic, and subtract the bottom number. And if that resultant number is too high, then the person's leaning too sympathetic, and too low, too parasympathetic. But with low blood pressure, that's not always the case, especially because you see this with a lot of women that are low resource. But then you look at their breath rate, and their breath rate is like 6. And there's another formula in that free course that shows you how to divide by the breath rate, and then that resultant is really huge. And now you see the person is leaning far too sympathetic and could be constricting the vascular system. So if someone's dealing with this, now they have a few markers that they could look at and say, okay, is this a problem, and what can I do to fix it?
Yeah, and you might have been taking something that was intentionally elevating your estrogen, like maybe you're on birth control, or maybe you eat a lot of soy products or a lot of whey protein, or maybe you didn't eat in a way that helped just naturally lower estrogens by including like a lot of collagen or gelatin rich foods, and having sufficient protein and carbohydrates in your diet to keep your
or the ability to digest those correctly.
All those things that can help just give your body the resources that it needs so it doesn't need to be in a fight or flight state. There's also another newer technology for measuring how sympathetic or parasympathetic your nervous system is that we haven't looked at too much, but I've heard a lot of like buzz around it. It's called heart rate variability. So there's free apps. I don't know how much the monitors are, but I think they're like $9 to $20 or something that connects to your smartphone, and it can measure your heart rate variability. And there's all these different scales depending on which app and connected or monitor that you get, but the more variability that there is in your heart rate, we're talking like microseconds, the more parasympathetic your system is, and the more like consistent your heart rate is, like the lower variability, the closer you are to a fight or flight state. So that's another marker that we can use to kind of detect like, hey, am I in a fight or flight state? And if so, what's going on in my life that's causing that?
Like, right. Is it caused by stress, or is it a stress that the body is dealing with? Maybe it's not stress in your life, but you know, low resources is a stress to the body. Elevated stress hormones is a stress to the body. Toxins coming in. Maybe you just tattooed your whole back and now you have all these toxins, you know. So a lot of different things can cause problems. But once you start actually looking at some numbers, you can figure out, okay, what's going on, instead of just like shaking your hands and saying, why are you tingly?
Yeah. And I mean, that was a huge problem for me for 3 years. Like, that's what really led me into this work, was like I had intense tingling, cramping pain in my extremities for years, and everything that the doctors looked at was normal. My blood pressure, my blood tests, my nerve, I had all my nerve tests, I had a full spinal MRI, no impingements. It was just like crazy mysterious what was going on. But then once I learned to look at my chemistry through the set of tools that we teach in the digestion course, I saw a few things. I saw I was strongly in a sympathetic state. I saw I was a slow oxidizer, like I wasn't effectively oxidizing glucose.
And your breath rate was really low,
right?
It was
really low, and I was very alkaline because I had been alkalizing on purpose for a while because I heard that maybe that would help. So there was like three or four things that were perpetuating the problem in different ways. So that might be the case for someone who has like this severe manifestation of Raynaud's. There may be several things they need to work on, and they may need to work on all of them at once for a while, or maybe something that as soon as they find it, it fixes it.
Because it can be extreme. Like I saw people posting things like, so sometimes if I sit still for more than 6 or 7 minutes, my feet get purple. You know, is that bad? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you just sit still for 6 or 7 minutes and things are purple, that's not what you want.
Yeah.
You don't want, that's you turning into Barney.
I mean, I had it like if I put a backpack on, my hand would clench up like a stroke victim.
Because
it was really awful. Like it was super painful. So I know where you're at with that. If you're in that boat where like everything's just really malfunctioning. I think this is also the basis of other things like neuropathy, fibromyalgia, and restless leg syndrome. It's all these like denervation of the tissues that can be happening for lots of different reasons. But when we learn to look at our base chemistry and troubleshoot those main things in our digestion, it can really, really help resolve a lot of issues that are otherwise completely idiopathic, mysterious.
Right. And that doesn't mean that they're always easy to fix or to even figure out, but if you start to look at least your own chemistry to get some ideas, at least you have a starting point to go from. And that's what it's all about, is try to figure out, look at why aren't things getting to where they should be in the body, and start finding some changes that you can make to at least move in that direction.
All right, so today all of our listeners can get a free audiobook from audible.com.
Audible.com.
Just go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook for the details. You can read one of Tony's books.
Yeah, there's one of those on there for free.
Yeah.
Or the Dilbert Phenomena, I hear is awesome.
The Dilbert?
Yeah.
The Dilbert Phenomena?
Yeah, it's written as a bestseller by the guy who wrote the Dilbert cartoon. Or Tony's book.
Really? Is it on audiobook?
I don't know. I think so. I think it's in a bunch of languages.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so we will see you on episode 100 in 2 weeks. So you have 2 weeks to go to iTunes and leave a review.
That's right. And if you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com, or head on over to Will's mybodyofknowledge.net. He's got a lot of great articles, blogs, and exercises on there and stuff to help fix your body alignment.
Yeah, and thanks for all the questions you guys are sending in. This is fun to really dig into some of the topics you guys are wanting to know about.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Later.
Bye.